All right, I'm ready. Tonight we're going to talk about the Old Testament instances of rebellion dealing with the rebellion of Ham. And that's going to put us over in Genesis chapter 9, begin at verse 20. I'm going to read and listen, because I'm going to stop as I go. But I want you to listen to what's happening here. And this is going to go pretty much down the line with apostles, what he was teaching about fathering, which is a very, 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 very powerful lesson he taught tonight. And I'm just going to try to go down the line with this, and you're going to see Noah, three sons. One of them rebelled against Noah. Disrespect is a powerful thing when it comes to submitting to authority and receiving the blessing. Ham got the curse. Shem and Japheth got the blessing, because Ham refused to submit promptly, because he went on the route. Let's just read the scripture and we're going to see him. Verse 20. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, which was the younger son, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth, the other two brothers, took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backward. They refused to look upon their father and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And let me put a peg right here. And Noah awoke from his wine. Did he get a word of wisdom, a word of prophecy, knowing that Ham had saw his nakedness, and what Ham had refused to cover his nakedness, and Ham committed the sin of reviling? Did he get a word of wisdom from God? Did God tell him? No, I don't believe God told him. You know what really happened here? His two brothers told him. If you could be submitted to authority, there should not be anything that happens or goes on in and around the ministry without the spiritual leader knowing it. Does that make you a tattletale? Yes, it does. I tell folks, if you don't want apostles to know, don't do it in front of me. If you don't want apostles to hear, don't say it in front of me. Because surely he's going to know and hear exactly what I know and hear. I'm not going to keep anything from him, because I'm not too close to anybody to not expose him. Are you with me? Do I tell you every little thing I see? No, that's something that the Holy Ghost gonna make sure you bring up front to attention of the spiritual leader. Certain things they need to know. And as you mature, you'll walk with God. You'll know what to say, what not to say. And some things just got to run its course. And that's where the wisdom comes in at. You can see something, but you got to have enough wisdom to let it run its course. Are you with me? Okay. And Noah, 24th verse, and Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And then he goes on and he speaks some cursing upon him, and then he speaks some blessing upon his other two sons. Was Noah right to become drunk? No, he wasn't right to become drunk. But God used a certain thing to reveal other things. You see it? God permits some things so he can expose some other things. You got to know who's around you. Let me go to point number one. The failure of delegated authority. God saved the family of Noah. In God's plan, Noah was the head of the family. God put the whole family under Noah's authority. He also set Noah at the head of the world at that time. But one day Noah became drunk in his vineyard and he uncovered himself in his tent. His younger son, Ham, saw his father's nakedness and told his brothers outside. So far as Noah's conduct was concerned, he certainly was wrong. He should not have been drunk. Yet Ham made this a point. Yet Ham failed to see the dignity of authority. He didn't recognize his father's authority, and so he didn't respect his father's authority. And we're going to see a couple of pointers, what could have prevented him from submitting to his father as he should have. The father is God's instituted authority in the home. The flesh delights in seeing a defect in authority, so as to throw off all restraint. You see it? The flesh delights to see a defect in authority, a weakness, a shortcoming. So as to throw off all restraint. You know what the word restraint means? This word restraint, in my own definition, it's an excuse to not have to yield because you can't tell me anything about being drunk because you were drunk. That now he can throw off a corrective restraint. You see it? How can you correct me when you need some help yourself? Old drunk man. He lost respect for his father. And not only that he lost that respect, he messed up with the sin of reviling, meaning he spoke critical words against his father. And those critical words go directly to the ear gates of God. Rebellious word ascending to heaven and heard by Father's God. All right? So he spoke critical words concerning his father because he lost respect for his father and he did not see the dignity of his father's authority. He did not understand that Noah's authority came from God. And at the same time, God permitted Noah to err so as to reveal and expose. Noah wasn't right for Noah to get drunk. It was the first vineyard ever planted. He may not have known the wine was going to get him drunk. But now we know. You drink wine, too much wine, you get drunk. But here's the point. It wasn't Ham's job to correct his father. Ham was totally out of place to even say anything about his father. Because Noah was God's authority. And because Noah was God's authority, he became God's responsibility. And because he God's responsibility, God had to deal with authorities. God had to make the correction, not those that are under authority. God always corrects from above and not below. And when you try to correct from below, you open yourself up for a curse. And then you open your gates of hell to bring about rebellious consequences. And you say it again? You open up the gates of hell to bring against you rebellious consequences. What does that mean? Rebellion always is followed by consequences. People don't like to hear that kind of teaching, but it's the truth. So what made him rebellious? Because he did certain things here. His conduct was improper. He did not have the slightest sense of shame or sorrow, nor did he try to cover his father's nakedness. Now let's put a peg right here. What do you mean, try to cover his father's nakedness? Try to justify the wrongness of Noah? No. But this authority has to be respected. And because God entrusts authority in his authority, God trusts his authority. And so when God entrusts his authority, God put a certain covering of himself upon that authority. And when that authority is not properly respected, God has to deal with those that deal with them. Now, what does it mean to cover a person's nakedness or to cover your authority shortcoming? It means that because they're human, because they're, Paul made a statement, we are not a high priest. Which wasn't tempted like we were tempted. Jesus was made flesh so he can taste what we taste. But yet the Bible explicitly says, yet without sin, Jesus didn't sin. He was tempted but didn't sin. But authority, those that God placed in authority are in the flesh, sure we get angry. Sure authorities get angry. Sure, authority make mistakes. It might misjudge a situation or mishandle a situation. But at the same time, our job is not to revile against them. Our job is to protect them and cover them and keep our mouth shut and just put our covering upon them. You hear somebody speaking evil against them, you need to keep that. You need to hold that. You see it? You see it? Because you're covering them. Don't you ever side with somebody that's speaking against your authority. Don't ever come in agreement with them. Why? Because you're putting yourself under condemnation. You're putting yourself under, you say, well, I didn't say anything. Sometimes people think agreement. You don't have to say anything to agree. Sometimes you can listen and be in agreement. Yeah. And don't, so, don't let them put anything in your ear gates. Well, I didn't say anything. Yeah, but you didn't say, you should have said something. Just say, hold that. Keep your peace. Hold your tongue. Leave that alone. That's God's business. See, some people get in error. They figure silence is a place where you become getting a neutral zone. No, sometimes you got to speak up. Amen. I will not let anybody speak evil against my apostle in my presence. And after a while, people get to know it. So they won't say anything evil in your presence. People will do what you let them do. And sometimes there's a time when you don't answer. But that's where the wisdom of God come in at. All right? So, Ham didn't operate properly, and God had to judge him. So listen to this statement. God is the judge. Authority and correction always come from above. I'm going to say that again. God is the one to judge. Authority and correction always come from above. You see? And so you might think, is God going to do anything about that authority that made a mistake? It's not your business. It's not your business. You see it? What do you mean not your business? It becomes God's business. And if you try to get into God's business, you're putting yourself under the hands of the enemy. People don't know. You see it? My mom would tell me, when we was little, me and my brother, we did some things that she didn't approve of sometimes. And she used to make a little statement, I'm going to put y'all in the hands of the Lord. And then I read the scripture. It's a dangerous thing to be found in the hands of the Lord sometimes. Because you get up in the hands of the Lord, sometimes God's going to deal with you in some ways you might not like. You see, God is merciful, but God also is a judging God. One scripture says he's a consuming fire. You don't hear too much talk about that. But God is a consuming fire. God always gives us a space to repent. But if you don't get it straight, sooner or later you're going to be judged by it. There ain't but one way out of rebellion. And that's repentance. You see, Father, I'm sorry. And not only repent to the Father, but you need to repent to the one whom you rebel against. Ask their forgiveness. The apostle tell the story sometime. This man came and knelt down before. See, I need you to forgive me. I said, I spoke against you, ain't nothing been going right in my life. Apostle released him and forgave him. But the man had to set himself free. The Bible says you got to deliver yourself from the snare of the devil. You see, you're held captive by your own will. You see, isn't that something? People put their own self, or we put our own self in captivity. And so if you put your own self in captivity, don't expect God to deliver you out of it. You got to deliver yourself out of the hand of the enemy. Something you don't pray about, something you just got to do. And it's the hardest thing. The people, pride get in the way, and they'd rather die in their sin than to repent and say, I'm sorry. I didn't handle that right. I didn't do that right. So that's why rebellion, it becomes a silent killer sometimes. Because you get under that spirit of rebellion, and you become captive by it, and you don't know how to get released from it. So it's a dangerous thing to walk in that spirit of rebellion. And so my thing is, is to always, see, we don't always say things right. We don't always think things right. But does that make you rebellious? No. No. See, because you're not going to always say things right, but rebellion is in the heart. It's a heart attitude, not a thought sitting brain across your mind. You see it? If you read the scripture, you'll find out that Satan said in his heart. When you begin to incubate things in your heart, then it becomes planted in your heart, and then you got to deal with it because it becomes a spirit of rebellion, and it captivates you, and it handcuffs you, and it holds you prisoner, and you can't get loose until you resist that spirit. And repent and get straight and get delivered from it. It'll hold you captive. But the way not to become rebellious, it don't let rebellious thoughts and words get in your mouth, in your heart. Stay too long on your mind. Why I say that? Because thoughts come to all of us sometimes. But don't entertain those thoughts. Cast them down. Are you with me? Don't let them incubate. Don't let them saturate. Don't let them become part of you. And don't let them take over your being and all your thoughts. And all your, so Bible said one time all their thoughts became evil. You remember the scripture? You see, so that's when God had to destroy the first world. Because they say they were continually thinking evil. And was Satan trying to get that into your heart by a spirit of rebellion? Remember, because he is that spirit. And so he don't want to go down by himself. So he wants some help. So he hired some help. People to negotiate rebellion. People to propagate rebellion. People to spread rebellion. See, woe unto that person that spread rebellious words. That spread rebellious gossip. And God will have to judge them. What happened to Ham and the failure of Noah, because of failure, because he got drunk and God didn't condone it, but yet God used it to do what? To reveal that Ham had a rebellious heart. So what can I say with that? Sometimes you don't know what's in a person's heart. I tell you, tried and tested. I'm going to even go as far as to say this. Sometimes you don't know what's in your heart until you try it and test it. You see it? And so God permitted this. Noah was a righteous man. You see it? That's why God created this whole world through Noah. He said Noah, there was eight of them saved. And so God saved the world to Noah, or create a new world to Noah, because he was a righteous man. And God ain't gonna let a little wine give it to him and Noah. Just like he ain't gonna let little sin get between you and him. You repent and deal with them and you go on about your business. You don't let no sin drag you down. You don't let no sin overtake you. No, you repent, get rid of it, and go on with life. You don't let no sin condemn you. He that without sin, Jesus, they cast the first stone. You repent and go on about your business. Now, so Noah, God used Noah to expose some things. God used situations to expose some things what's in people's heart. You see it? And then Jesus made a very profound statement. I think it's in Matthew 12. Out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaking. Amplified Bible says the superabundance of the heart. Now, that means when your heart gets so flooded with the wrong things, it finally going to come out. You see it? So what I'm saying is sometimes certain things got to be flooded in your heart. I didn't know that was in her. Yeah, you just have to come out. I didn't know that was in me. Yeah, you got to hit the right button, make it come out. Yeah, so you don't know what's in you sometimes. So somebody hit the wrong button. You ever had the wrong button hit? Yes, sir. Yeah, I had the wrong button hit on me. And something come out I didn't like. And God had to deal with it. And deal with me. And I had to deal with those things. So God used that, you know, and Ham exposed himself to his action. Rebellion finally gonna be exposed, listen to this now, through words and action. Just notice people around you that stay there with you. And then they left, and they're not with you anymore. They reveal themselves two ways, through their words and through their action. You see it? You see it? They always do. They always do. And the second thing they do is what Ham did. Went out and told his brothers. trying to get his brother to side with him. They talked to his brother, you know, I found dead and naked, drunk and naked, drunk and naked. Not only naked, but drunk and naked. And now he's hoping his brother will side with him. But no, the brother has something in him that he didn't have. They have respect and honor for their father. Something you're not just going to tell. Something you can you're not just going to be able to tell somebody, and they're going to what they were looking for. And they're going to cater to it. No, they're going to stomp you. And I want to say, Japheth and his other brother Shem, they stopped him. Said, no, you can't talk about daddy like that. No, you don't know who you're talking about. So they took a covering, and the Bible said they hid their faces from their father, and they would not even so much even look upon him. And they backed up toward Noah, their spiritual father, the man who they, oh, Jesus, who they honored, and they laid the blanket on him and covered their father naked. Guess what? They didn't even want to see their father naked. I don't want to see my spiritual father naked. I don't want to see his shortcoming. Lord, hide them from me. I want to see my man of God always honor him, always respect him, always believe that he's always in the face of God. That's the way I want to see my spiritual father. Don't tell me nothing else. I'm not going to listen to nothing else. You can't show me nothing else. It's too late, too long. Nobody could tell me but apostle. You're too late. You're too late. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I don't care what you think. You're too late. He's a mighty man of valor. A mighty man of God, whom I respect for the rest of my life. I don't care who don't go. I don't care what who say. Just don't say it in front of me. Amen. 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 You're too late. Gone too far. Been there too long. Yep. Amen. I didn't want to get off on that, but it's true anyway. Now, here's another point now. This reveal, he had a rebellious spirit. Talking about who? Talking about Ham. He went out instead and told his brother, pointing out to them his father's ugliness, and so adding to himself another sin, the sin of reviling. And I just told you what sin of reviling, I'm about to define it for you now. Reviling is to speak about someone or something in a very critical or insulting way. You've heard words like that, right? You've heard words where people speak insulting, strong words in critical way. You've heard that. But do like Shem and Japheth. Cover your apostle. Cover your pastor. Cover your spiritual leader. Cover your those whom God has placed in authority of. Say, nope, I'm not going to agree with you. Speak. Sometimes it's time to get bold. Sometimes it's time to speak out. You know, God will back you up. God will back you up every time you speak out. Amen. Amen. So be it. Now, so that's what Ham did. Your response, listen at this. Your response to the failure of authority. I'm snotting right now. Your response to the failure of authority reveals your heart. Isn't that something? Remember I said that. Your response, oh, you taking care of yourself? Appreciate that. Your response, I'm good. Your response to what? To the failure of authority reveals your heart. Isn't that something? How are you going to respond? How are you going to respond when somebody tell you something about your spiritual leader? What you going to say? Are you going to agree? Or are you going to stand up and be bold and cover your father's nakedness?
Absolutely.
Amen. I say stand up and be bold.
Absolutely.
Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel or those that carry the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Truth is truth.
Yes,
truth is truth.
Absolutely.
Stand, always stand behind the truth. Observe, though, how Shem and Japheth managed the situation. What they did. They entered the tent backwards, thus avoiding seeing their father's nakedness. Wow. Isn't that something? That's how they responded to the situation. They entered the tent backwards. Not even want to see their father nakedness. And covered their fathers with the upper garment which they had laid on their shoulders. It is seen that the failure of Noah became a test to Shem. You hear me say that? It not only was a test to Ham, but it was a test to Shem and Japheth. It was a test to make sure your heart right. My goodness. Because they could have went all with Ham. It was easy for them to agree that what Ham saying was true. Because it was true. He was naked. And he was drunk. It's not that Ham was lying. Ham was telling the truth. But the truth is not always the truth. I said, what you mean? The truth was that certain things you're not authorized to do. Certain places, Ham wasn't authorized to go with that thing. You see it? So, it was not only a test to Ham, but it also was a test to Shem and Japheth, how their response was. You see it? And God showed his honor. God showed his honor to Shem and Japheth. The man of God, after he was told what had happened, he called a curse upon Ham. Ham was the first slave. He became servant to Shem and Japheth. Jesus came through the line of Shem. The gospel was appropriated in the area that Japheth, all that is the gospel appropriated where Japheth lived in that country. Show how God honored that. But Ham became a slave in Canaan. Are you with me? So God honored Shem and Japheth for doing what you do what's right, God will honor you. Always remember that. You do what's right by honoring your authority, God will honor you. He that received a prophet, Jesus said this, in the name of a prophet, shall receive a prophet reward. You treat your authority right, God going to reward you for it. You submit to your authority right, God going to reward you for it. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. The same blessing that fall upon them can fall upon you. Yeah, that's when your heart's right. That's when your heart is in a submissive mode. That's when you're obedient to those that whom God has placed over and among you. Yeah. God's not going to let you go unblessed if you're doing right. You remember I said that? God's not going to let you go unblessed. God not gonna permit you to go without your dream fulfilled. God not gonna let you be left behind if you're serving properly. Yeah, that's blessings. That blessings and blessings and blessings that follow those that submit properly to their spiritual leader. God will make sure, mark these words, God will make sure it happens to you. God will make sure as you back your spiritual leader, God said, I'm going to back you. All right? Now we're not talking about backing spiritual leader in anything, because you got some spiritual leader do anything and everything, and they want God to bless them in their ministry anyway. No, we're talking about those that are serving righteously, doing what God said do. Amen? You can't back a crook? How you going back a crook? Jesus said, if the crook follow the crook, they're both going to fall in the crooked ditch. Now I made that up. Jesus didn't say it like that. The blind can't lead the blind. He said they're both going to fall in the ditch. So if you got a crooked leader, you're going to have a crooked life. But we're talking about righteousness. All right? You can't cover unrighteousness. Now, I'm about to say this. You can't cover whoremongering. See, I'm not talking about that kind of covering. I'm not talking about sin that demean the gospel. We're talking about shortcoming. You see? Amen? We all got shortcoming. You see? We all don't answer people right all the time. But your intentions are right. You see? Make sure your intentions are right. You see? And so that's what we're walking into now. We walk into a room where God is bringing to a place of righteousness through this apostolic government. Amen?
Amen.
With thank God for my apostle. Amen. I just have to say that. Now, I'm almost through. So the first one in the Bible to become a slave was Ham. Three times was the sentence pronounced that Cana would be a slave. This is to say that the one who is not subject to authority shall be slave to him who does obey authority. Isn't that something? Shem was to be blessed, and even our Lord Jesus came from Shem. Isn't that something? Japheth was destined to preach Christ. And thus, it is that nation that propagate the gospel today belong to the descendant of Japheth. Isn't that something? The first to be cursed after the flood was Ham. Listen to this statement. Not knowing authority, he was put under authority for generations to follow. Isn't that something? Not knowing authority, he was put under authority in being a slave for generations to follow. So, listen to this. I just saw something here. So when a person rebels, if you don't make any correction, your next generation is going to have that same rebellious spirit. If you don't turn, your family is going to follow you right into the same mud hole. You don't want a generation of rebellious people. You don't want your children and your children to be under a curse. No, you don't. But I don't understand. I don't understand what? How people are walking in rebellion and don't know they're in rebellion and want you to think they're blessed. I see them all the time. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Yes, then I guess you are. May the Lord have mercy on your soul. They want you to think they're blessed. But how can you bless that with God has cursed? You remember the prophet? You want him to go curse somebody? He said, I can't curse these people. God didn't bless them. So how can you bless whom God has cursed, though? Yeah, they want you to think they're blessed. They've left, and they're in a mess. They can't get nothing going, but they want you to think they're blessed. Because they don't know how to come back and repent. Their pride have overcome them. And they live in defeat, want you to think they're on top. We don't want to be there. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to close with this statement here. And everyone who wishes to serve the Lord Jesus needs to meet authority. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. My class is over. Go in peace. Amen.